Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, Mike McShane. Mike, how's it going, buddy?
All right, we're doing okay, I guess.
We're living.
Yeah.
You know, just to let our listeners know, it's only going to be about a half an hour today. Unfortunately, both Mike and myself, go figure, are under the weather.
Mike, but that's not stopping us.
Nope. It's not. Even though my throat feels like somebody's blasting a blowtorch on it right now.
It's not stopping me.
That's the dedication we have for all of you. We love you.
And my allergies are killing me, but that's all right. We're here.
Yeah, it's terrible. You know, it's just the beginning of fall, man, and it's already hitting us. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, you know, I just got to get past the allergy season. I think I'll be all right. That's all.
You know, I don't know what's going on. There's a bug going around this area, so...
I'm staying away from that, so...
But, you know what? We only have a half an hour today, so let's jump right in, Mike.
Yeah.
First, unfortunately, we're going to speak about baseball. St. Louis Cardinals and the Giants. The Cardinals, what were they up, 3-1?
Yeah, I really thought that they had firm control of the series. I really did. You know, I had made the predict last Thursday night on 5 Minutes at the Frat House. I said to Sidekick, I said, you know, Cardinals will win game 4 and they will win game 5.
Yeah.
And this thing is now spun out of control. And frankly, I think at this particular moment, with it being a game 7 and it's anybody's series now at this point, it's a do or die for both, obviously.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to think that it's playing into San Francisco's favor.
Well, you have to look at the pitching matchups for tonight. Kyle Loesch is on the mound for St. Louis. Matt Cain's on the mound for San Francisco.
Yeah,
I like Kyle Loesch better than I like Matt Cain.
Well, so do I.
It's not discounting the fact that Matt Cain's a really good pitcher. I just think Kyle Loesch has really evolved into a complete pitcher.
Yes,
and I think that is the perfect guy to be on the mound for St. Louis tonight, and I really do see St. Louis taking the game tonight.
Personally, I certainly hope that they do. I'm rooting for St. Louis in this series anyhow. But I just feel that the whole momentum shift has changed completely into the Giants' favor.
Yeah.
I mean, they really put it to St. Louis last night. They beat them 6-1.
Yeah. Listen, Ryan Vogelsong, I blasted in the last series, saying saying that I don't think he's a really good playoff pitcher. I'm glad to eat my words. Last night, 9 strikeouts, 4 hits in 7 innings, a 1.29 ERA.
Yep.
He's 2-0 now.
Yeah.
So I mean, good for him, but. The real disappointment and the real shocker here is Chris Carpenter.
Yeah, it was.
0-2, 4.50 ERA last night, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 5 runs, 6 strikeouts, and 4 innings. That's something we didn't expect.
No. And you know, that's where, particularly in the past two games, in Game 5 and Game 6, that's where St. Louis came up a bit short. They came up a bit short in their starting pitching. Mm-hmm. So you got to hope that tonight, with Loesch going, that in fact you're going to see a different outcome. That's what you got to hope.
Yeah, you know, I think we will. I really like Kyle Loesch. I think the bats will wake up, especially Beltran. I mean, he's been a little silent as of late, even though he has been having a really good playoffs. But you know what? They're going to need other guys to step up. You know, Freese, Molina, Kozma. Matt Holliday, John Jay. They're going to really need to step up and really help this lineup.
Yeah, but of course, when you've got Loesch up there, history has been, you don't need more than probably 2-3 runs.
Exactly. But then again, who knows,
So, I mean, I'm glad to hear that you're feeling optimistic about it. I'm going to be honest, I'm less than that.
Yeah.
It's an 8 o'clock game tonight. I will be there watching.
Well,
right alongside of Monday Night Football, but I'll probably be on the edge of my seat a little bit.
Let me tell you, Mike, to be honest, really doesn't matter to me who makes it. I mean, I'd much rather see the Cardinals make it, but, you know. But then again, I mean, there's former Mets on both teams, so, hey, I you know what? I can go for either or.
Oh, gosh, it doesn't matter to you. I know how much you think of baseball.
Listen, you know what? Forget it. You know, that's a whole different discussion for another time. And unfortunately, I'd put a lot of people on blast if we had that discussion right now. So we won't.
Right.
We really won't. You know, the cool thing is that, you know what? I really like Marco Scudero. Guy's been in the league a long time now. It would be nice to see him win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Could really care less about Angel Pagan.
Yeah,
Beltran I like, so it'd be nice for him to win one too. So,
well, I'm just not a big fan of the Giants at all.
I'm not either. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, there's really, you know, I don't know. You know what? You look at both lineups. There's really no offensive power in each lineup, and you would think that no matter who makes it a World Series, the Tigers are just going to roll over them.
Well, I don't know. I frankly gave the edge to the Cardinals a little bit over the Tigers.
I mean, the Cardinals have better hitters, but neither lineup is really scary if you look at it.
No.
You know, especially compared to the Tigers roster, you know.
No, I agree with you.
But then again, what are you going to do?
So we got Game 7 tonight, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yes, Game 7 tonight is
8 o'clock
tonight. I'm sure it's probably going to be on Fox again.
Yeah,
Kyle Loesch taking on Matt Cain.
Yes.
Well, Mike, you let me know how that one works out.
I will. I will let you know. I'll be on the phone with you immediately after it's over.
Yeah, because I won't watch. All right, well, Mike, let's stay with baseball here. Once again, unfortunately, for me anyway. Alex Rodriguez, Mike, in the New York Yankees. You know what? We're going to hear a lot about this until the beginning of the next season, unless something happens there. Yankees general manager Brian Cashman threw out some comments yesterday saying that, you know, A-Rod's not a superstar, and then he says, and I quote, "Is he still an above-average player at his position? Yes, he was this year, and we expect him to be one moving forward."
Mm-hmm.
He says people thinking that he won't be with the Yankees next year, you know, are going to be disappointed because of his contract, you know, and the rumors coming out that, oh yeah, you know what, the Yankees will pay 80% of it. The Yankees aren't paying 80% of it. That's a lot of money for Alex Rodriguez's contract. Even to get rid of him, you might as well just keep him at that percentage.
Well, I might agree, although we are talking about the Yankees. And one's got to also wonder, though, regardless of what Cashman might be saying at this point, where did the rumors come from just a couple of weeks ago?
Who knows?
Where did all that come from?
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, it wasn't Cashman that was having that conversation with, you know, whoever it was from the Miami Marlins. It was Randy Levine, who was the president of the Yankees.
Right.
Listen, a lot of people are going to have to sign off of it. In the end, it's 80%. You know, no question about it. If this was George Steinbrenner, he'd tell A-Rod either put up or, you know, ride the bench, go to the minors, whatever. You know, Steinbrenner would do what he would have to do. Hal Steinbrenner and the rest of them, they're not like their father. You know, in my eyes, you can expect to see Alex Rodriguez back at third base next season.
Yeah, I mean, any other team, you're absolutely right. Any other team, there's no way that they're going to go out. I mean, I would certainly hope my Phils wouldn't go out and try to shop somebody at 80% of their contract. I mean, that just it seems like a really, really foolish thing to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I said, the reason that I was giving it at least some credibility is because we are talking about the Yankees.
Yeah.
And that's a team that we have found will do anything, literally, for their team.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it was all that. I mean, I think for another team, yeah, it would be completely outrageous. For the Yankees, I don't see it as completely outrageous.
So do you think there's a possibility that A-Rod won't be a Yankee next year?
I think that what you might be hearing right now is you're hearing a little bit of posturing. You know, in post-playoff is what you're hearing. You know, I don't know. I, maybe it's because I'm from the Philadelphia area, and I just don't trust any of my people down here when they speak about their teams. I don't trust the Eagles management. I don't trust the Phillies management. I certainly don't trust the Flyers management at this particular moment. So when there were solid reports coming out just, a week and a half ago, that A-Rod was being shopped even before the playoffs were over, and now all of a sudden you've got the general manager coming out and saying, back up the bus, wait a minute, no, that's not happening. And yet, in those very same comments, takes the extra step to throw a couple of swipes at A-Rod by telling him that he's not a superstar, and that he's a slightly better than an average player. So I don't know. I guess I'm somewhat distrustful.
Well, put it this way. I mean, from what I'm looking at the numbers, I'm possibly wrong, but he's owed $114 million up until 2017, starting next season.
Correct.
80% of that,
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. You're talking about into the 90 millions there.
Yes.
Will the Yankees be that desperate to shell out $90 million for a club that's already aging?
Yeah.
Having problems just to get rid of him?
It seems completely ridiculous.
Unless they get a really good package from a stupid team of some young prospects and one ready-to-go player. But I just can't see that for Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like completely a completely ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah, listen, it's not like they're getting rid of Alex Rodriguez from 4 years ago. They would have had a shot.
Mm-hmm.
With the way he played this year and into the playoffs, to me, Miami would be the only team stupid enough to try to grab him. But are they even that stupid to give up good players in return for the Yankees to take 80% off of that contract?
I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of teams out there, in my opinion, that would look at that offer, very, very carefully. I think there's a lot of teams.
Well, look at it, but you have to realize too, that the Yankees aren't going to shell out $90 million to acquire a single A ball player.
No, but,
you know,
but I still think there's a great deal of hype and mystique around A-Rod. He's kind of like the Peyton Manning, you know?
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was the big X factor.
Then again, Peyton Manning still has talent.
Well, sure, but who was going to take the chance on him, you know? It was a situation where it was everybody's word, you know, it was his word against everybody else. Yes, I can play. Yes, I can play. Yes, I can still do it. And yet, you know, there was a lot of apprehension about whether the guy could ever play football again.
Yeah.
Well, he's proven that he can, and this might be the situation with A-Rod as well. I think there are a lot of teams out there that would be willing to take that chance on, particularly if the Yankees are going to say, well, okay, we'll pick up 70-80% of the contract.
Yeah. So A-Rod for 20, so like let's say around $23 million, right, for the next bunch of years,
right?
For a, what is he, like 37 now, A-Rod? Okay, so for a 37-year-old third baseman,
mm-hmm,
whose numbers are declining, that you can see the numbers are declining,
mm-hmm,
I mean, honestly, I think maybe one team would be dumb enough, but I can't see multiple teams being interested in trying to acquire him and on top of giving out players. I don't know.
Well, I made the comment the other night on 5 Minutes at the Frat House. I said, hey, you know, my Phils need a third baseman.
Well, they...
if we're talking 2 years, I might take that chance.
Who was it today? I think it was Howard Eskin.
Okay.
I think it was on Fox saying, don't. He's like, Phillies fans, if you're even thinking about it, get that notion out of your head. It would be the worst move ever.
Well, I think it could be a bad move for a number of different reasons.
Yeah.
And when I say I jokingly about it, yeah, I'm kind of jokingly making the suggestion about it.
Well, they actually had him in a Phillies jersey and a Phillies hat on Fox 29 today in Philadelphia. Mike Jerick, who I love, when I moved up here to the Philadelphia area 4 years ago, he actually basically followed me because he was on New York TV.
Right.
Had his show Mike and Julia, and you know, he's a pisser. You know, I love the guy.
Yeah.
And he looked at Howard Eskin like, really? Did you see what he did this year? You know, like, why, you know what I mean? Like, why was he even mention it, you know? So, hey, who knows? I mean, honestly, I don't know. I mean, honestly, could you really see A-Rod and Ryan Howard at your corners?
No, I can't.
With a team that's already aging as well, you know?
I don't.
Rollins and Utley up the middle, you know?
Yeah, right.
A-Rod at the corner, Ryan Howard at the corner, and aging Carlos Ruiz at catcher. I mean, you know.
No, but at the same time, like I said, at the cost of what you're talking about, if in fact it were true that the Yankees were to pick up 80% of the contract,
yeah.
You got to sit up and take notice of the deal.
I would be willing to, if I was a general manager or owner of a team, I would be willing to gut my team, rebuild, and start a few years of losing before I would take A-Rod on my team.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
There's a definitive then.
But to give up players. Like I said, if I was getting A-Rod at $20 million from 2013 to 2017 without giving up anything of significance, I may think about it.
Yeah.
But you have to look at the Yankee side of the bowl now. Is that, well, we're going to take off $90 million of this $114 million he's owed, but you need to give us a package to entice us to even think about throwing $90 million your way. You know?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And you know what? There's a lot of teams out there that are going to want $90 million because they can't afford even $50 or $60 million for A-Rod right now. You know?
That's why I still think that there would be at least three or four or five teams out there that would be suitors for this particular possibility.
Man, listen, you know what? From my perspective, I hope it is the Phillies. I hope it's the Braves. I hope it's the Marlins.
I can't imagine.
I just, no matter who to jump at, Ruben Amaro, the schmuck up even with the Mets. That's bad. Oh, yeah, Sandy Alderson. I almost forgot his name here for a second. I just hope they're not that stupid, man.
I can't imagine the Phils making this move.
I can't imagine anybody making it. Like, I honestly believe I'm 99% sure that A-Rod will be a Yankee again next year.
The fact is, the Phils do not have, we don't have anything to put together in a quote-unquote package.
Yeah.
Our farm system and our minor league system is depleted as it is, and in fact, we're trying to rebuild that at this particular moment. We lost so much in the trades for the big pitchers.
Yeah.
That we don't have anything that we could put together, and we don't certainly have anything on the field right now. I think that would be in any way enticing to any team. So, no, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in agreement with you. I believe that you see A-Rod back in Yankee pinstripes next year.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Mike, let's switch over to football. But before we get to the NFL, I want to mention something about the LFL, who, we're really close with. We love the product that they have going on over there. The Saskatoon Sirens are actually going to the Lingerie Bowl to face the BC Angels. And awesome stuff, LFL Canada. But I want to congratulate Beat the Sharks' own Heather Furr, Stevie Schnur, and Sarah Brady, who will be in the Lingerie Bowl. Stevie and Sarah are both on the BC Angels. Heather is on the Sirens. Mm-hmm. They're going to be going up against one another. It's going to be great. You know, Fan Junkies, you can see them on Beat the Shark on fanjunkies.net. Check it out. Great stuff. Great girls. Great game. Amazing athletes. Amazing people. Check out the LFL, the Lingerie Football League at LFLUS.com, LFLCanada.com. And also take a look at the media platform for the LFL at LFL360.com.
Jonathan, do you know when that when is the Lingerie Bowl for Canada?
Do
you know what the date is on that?
I will find out right now. I don't particularly remember when it is, unfortunately.
Obviously, it must be coming up since they've already determined who the contenders are, right?
Yeah, well, it's not going to take place at the Super Bowl. Usually it does. Excuse me. That's the U.S. I'm sorry.
I
keep forgetting about the LFL Canada, unfortunately. But, you know, it's great. I've been watching some games and keeping up with it. If anybody's out there and you enjoy the LFL, you know, pay attention to the LFL Canada. Some really, really good stuff.
Yep.
Next show, I'll find out when the Lingerie Bowl is in Canada, and I'll let everybody know here.
Yep.
All right, so let's switch it over to the NFL, and we're going to talk about one game because we only have about 10 minutes left, and then we're going to switch over to some hockey. Tennessee Titans and Buffalo Bills, Mike. It was a shootout yesterday. Titans won 35-34. Both teams are now 3-4. Chris Johnson, though, 195 yards on 18 carries and 2 touchdowns, Mike.
Yep.
Is CJ back?
Well, it certainly appeared in that game. You make a valid point. This thing was a shootout, is right. I mean, this just went back and forth all day long. 2 TDs there. Yeah, I mean that certainly. You know, Tennessee had the ground game going. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was a shootout.
Yeah, I mean they 195 yards from Johnson. They had 197 yards on the ground, so almost all of it came from Johnson. They were putting it in the air as well, though. 193 yards in the air from Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
So a very balanced attack is what you saw there, going back and forth, back and forth.
It could have swung either way.
It really could have. Similarly, you're seeing the same thing over on Buffalo's side.
Yeah.
They had 166 yards on the ground and 225 yards in the air.
Yeah.
The difference there, I think, was that Fitzpatrick was a little more accurate when he threw the ball. He had 3 TDs.
Yeah, he looked good yesterday. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
You know, a 109.8 rating. So, it was a good game. Hopefully, a lot of people were able to watch it. Yeah.
Helped out my fantasy team.
Me too. I actually started him and Fred Jackson yesterday because I had bye weeks on my running back and my quarterback side.
Yeah, so, I mean, terrific, exciting game. Ended in the last seconds. I think was it on a turnover? Was there a turnover?
Yeah, there was 2 turnovers.
At the end of the game, I think there was a turnover, and then Tennessee got the ball and ended up just kneeling it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what won the game.
Yeah, unfortunately ended that way. But
When you look at the stats on this particular game, up and down, I mean, it's just the stats were so equal all the way down to time of possession. 29 minutes, 41 seconds for Tennessee, 30 minutes and 19 seconds for Buffalo. It's just very, very balanced, very even game. Mm-hmm. And certainly evident in the score, my gosh, by only 1 point.
Absolutely. Mike, you know what? We only have a little over 7 minutes left, but we do have a caller. So let's get to our caller before the show ends. 646 area code, how you doing?
What's up, gentlemen? It's Joey.
Oh, hey, Joey. Joe from the Bronx.
Yeah, man. What's going on?
How are we doing today, Joey?
Doing all right. Still reeling from the devastating Jet loss yesterday, but, I'm proud of the way they played. They're 10-point underdogs, and they took the Patriots to the limit. Naturally, and Jonathan knows this, as we talked about on Facebook, Jets should have just flat out won that game in regulation. Stephen Hill, you make that catch in the late stages of the fourth quarter, game, set, match, Jets win. And all of a sudden, you don't have as many people bashing Sanchez. Jets fans, I love them. God bless them because they're a passionate bunch. But a lot of my fellow Jets fans, and Jonathan knows this firsthand, they are a bunch of clueless morons. Because right away, as soon as the game ends, due to the fumble, oh, Sanchez, get rid of him. He's a bum. Sanchez sucks. Put Tebow in. Blah, 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 blah. I'm so sick and tired of hearing these morons, these wannabe coaches. It's absurd, man.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
It's, you know what? It's easy to be an armchair coach, Joey. And, yesterday was a complete team loss. There's not one person to blame. The running game was crap again. The offensive line, terrible. Receivers dropping passes.
Yep.
Good passes for Mark Sanchez yesterday.
Yes.
The interception was all on him, but that was early on in the game. He rebounded from that. The fumble last night, unfortunately, it goes against where you say, you know, Mark Sanchez doesn't do too much or he doesn't do enough. So, once again, Mark Sanchez was trying to do a lot last night. The fumble, I put that on the offensive line, not Mark Sanchez. Also, a lot of the blame goes against offensive coordinator Tony Sparano, who could have went for the kill yesterday, but instead went conservative, which we all knew too well from the Brian Schottenheimer era. And what do you get? Overtime loss, 29-26. Sanchez was good yesterday. He was a 90.3 rating, 328 yards, 28 for 41. He was not bad yesterday, Mark Sanchez, at all.
Nope. No, he wasn't. And, I mean, I know you were saying on Facebook yesterday that Jeremy Curley was really the only one that came to play yesterday.
Absolutely.
And he did play great. He, you know, he dropped one test.
You know, and Dustin
Curley
Keller
played great.
Well, Dustin Keller, 7 receptions, was targeted 7 times, so did not drop. Had some good key blocks, 93 yards, 1 touchdown. So between Curley and Keller, those are the two guys that came to play. Unfortunately, Stephen Hill, I don't know what's up with the Butterfingers with this guy. Phenomenal receiver. He just can't hold on to the ball.
I couldn't get over how many drop passes there were in that particular game.
But now,
by
is Mark Sanchez's fault, Mike? It's not.
No, absolutely not. There were passes that were put right on these guys' fingers, and they were dropping them.
Yesterday's loss should not be put solely on the shoulders of Mark Sanchez. It should be put on the team, starting from the coaching right on down to the last player on the roster. It was a complete team loss, but you can't discount the fact that they played good yesterday. They were a 10.5-point underdog yesterday, and they took the Patriots into overtime. They came back, scored 13 points in the fourth quarter to tie the game, and unfortunately lost.
Let me ask both you guys, being Jets fans, let me ask, because I watched the game, the whole game yesterday, and here's what I saw, okay? And I'm an outsider looking in because I'm not a Jets fan.
Yes.
Play calling, all right? Sideline play calling, all right? Which there were many, many times I frankly disagreed with the calls that were being made for the Jets. I disagreed with a lot of them. But what it indicated to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, is I see a coaching staff that might be showing that it doesn't quite have the confidence in Sanchez.
I agree.
Unfortunately, when everything works well, the opening drive yesterday, which led to a Sean Green 1-yard touchdown, if you saw the opening drive for the Jets, they went all the way downfield, scored. Flawless. It was a perfect drive. Why?
Yes, it was.
The offensive line was giving him time.
Right.
The running game was working, and he called the right plays. But then all of a sudden, you have this ridiculous, ridiculous play calling on third down where you keep going to a slant play to Chad Fillins, who dropped every single pass thrown to him.
Could not
get over. They did it on the 1-yard line.
And why is it, even though I did not agree with getting Tebow here, but if you have him here and you're inside the red zone, especially inside the 5, why is he not out there?
Exactly. Why?
Why is he? You're wasting his talent. He's on the sidelines in that situation.
You know what? And I hate to say it. Listen, Tebow is a very nice guy. You know what? He did a lot in Denver. And you know what? They gave him their keys and they said, here, run. And what did he do? He got them into the playoffs. You got to give him that. It's the same people that don't give Sanchez the credit for leading them to 2 straight AFC championship games. Now, you got him there. It's just a circus the way you're using him. You know, the guy's excited. He wants to play. No matter what position they have put him in already, Tebow's doing it with a smile on his face, and he's doing it with excitement, which is great. Team player. Why did you not use him on that 1-yard line yesterday?
Yep.
Instead of going to a stupid slant play that the Patriots knew you were going to do because you just did it 5 times in a row on third down.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous.
Ryan and Tony Sperano for that. I blame nobody else but that. You cannot blame Mark Sanchez for late. Unfortunately, we have 90 seconds left, Joey. Thanks for calling in. Please try to come back Wednesday or Friday. We can talk more about this, Joey.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
The play calling is what astounded me, Jonathan, more than anything else.
What's bothering me, and I agree with Joey, is the moronic fans who are putting this on Mark Sanchez every game when Mark Sanchez is coming to play. And Mark Sanchez did just that yesterday.
Yep.
You know, put Tebow in. He's not going to fare. It's miserable, Mike. It's miserable.
I agree. And you know, Tebow did get the ball. He had 4 carries and 12 yards, but not in the right place.
No, it's not. You know, you do it when you're on 3rd and 20, but when you're on 3rd and 1, you don't give them the ball.
Yeah.
Tony Sperano, Rex Ryan, you guys are schmucks. Mike Tannenbaum, you as well. I think it's time to clean house of the coaching staff. Everybody. Ryan. Not Mark Sanchez, because watch, one day he's going to go to another team and he's going to succeed there, and everybody's going to say, why us?
Yeah.
You know, why didn't you do it for the Jets? Because he is doing it for the Jets. It's just the fans, the fair weather fans, that don't know what the hell is going down in the field. They don't know where to put the blame, so they put it on a quarterback because they don't know the game.
All right, man.
All right, Mike. Well, we got a few seconds left, so I just want to thank everybody for listening in. Once again, we apologize for such a short show. We'll make it up to you Wednesday, 30 hour. Mike, Thank you so much.
You got it, man.
Thank everybody again. Have a good day, everybody.
Have a good one.